The program is called Rooted in Schools, and it's, you know, obviously been in the works for a little bit, but it really started about December, January. And what it is having a full-time mental health therapist that is in the school, that they are there all day long with the teachers and administration, a part of that school, and they are providing counseling for students. And, I from the outside, I think, well, we have guidance counselors. There's a lot of stuff on the plate of a guidance counselor to make a school go, but who can do that therapy for kids that are hurting? And so this provided at five schools. It's a pilot program for 3 years, and it hires experienced mental health counselor that will be inside each of those schools, a part of that team. And so even in the first 6 months, it's brand new, it's early, but seeing some really cool stuff already.
So you need a teacher recommendation, you need parental permission, yep. They bill insurance. But if kids don't have insurance, they're not turned away. Do I understand all that correctly?
Correct. All of that is correct. Obviously, the parents have to be sign off on that. But having it in the schools, one, it reduces the barriers of getting the kids to appointments. You have the administrators, the guidance counselors, the teachers saying, hey, Andy would benefit from being in this program and really having that kind of warm handoff to that therapist.
Yeah. So I want to go back a little bit and talk about how this pilot program came to be. Tell me about Seed for Success Foundation and your connection with them at the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation.
Yeah. The Seed for Success Foundation is a supporting org of the Sioux Falls Area Community Foundation, which means nothing to anybody. But essentially, it means that our orgs are kind of partnered together. They're a separate 501c3 nonprofit with a board, but we provide grant-making support. We do the back office stuff so that they can really focus on deciding how they want to give away resources into this community. And so that's been a partnership that we've had as we work with them, and they've identified, how do we want to give back? One of their pillars is mental health, and they were asking, what's something that could really help kids, maybe in the school setting, with mental health? And those are not always easy questions to answer. There are a lot of services out there. We felt like this needed a deep dive, and so we actually dedicated a staff person to really researching it. And as looking at other programs, a lot of conversations with the district's counseling staff, this idea emerged, and so we brought it back to Seed for Success, and they were thrilled to get to be a funder of it.
Yeah. So you're identifying the gaps.
Yep. Yep.
And looking at what, what's already out there, because you don't want to duplicate things. What kinds of questions are you asking about purpose and mission and values to really hone when somebody wants to make a charitable gift, or you have a foundation that you're partnering with, to really hone that partnership so that they end up getting what they, making the most impact out of that charitable gift?
I think starts with a deep dive of what's your values, what do you want to make happen? And thankfully, Seed for Success has done that. They got a heart for kids, and they want to make that happen. And then you're right. You're really doing a scan to say what already is happening, what are those gaps, and then coming back to them. And we had several ideas, but this one really emerged with the school district and then with Seed for Success, that like this is a big idea, the idea of having that therapist be on the school team and be eyes and ears there. They fell in love with that idea. So it is, you're right. You're starting with what are kind of the hopes for the donor, but then how does that intersect with where something's missing? Yeah. And in this case, it was there is a gap. There are more kids that need counseling. It can be hard to get them into the counseling program to make sure there's stability in who that counselor is. All those things got solved in a little different way with this program.
Yeah. And these licensed mental health providers are from Avera?
Yeah. So quickly, the school district, said, because there's some insurance billing that we hope is happening, that's not right for them. And Avera already works with the schools to some extent. And the school district quickly said, we think Avera is the right partner. And so they came in, and it aligns with their mission very well. And so they quickly said, yeah, we want to be a part of this. So those five counselors are employees of Avera, even though they're working in that school setting.
Help me understand how you measure success.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of things that will be looked at as far as just the progress and how the kid reports that they're doing and how the therapist and the parents. And what's interesting in this one is right off the bat, the schools are already seeing some things that they would call success. They're having improved attendance of the kids that are in therapy. They are having less office referrals and pretty significant reduction, which I'm frankly kind of surprised to see that early in the process. So those are some of the things that will be used as a measurement. I'm a little excited to hear what some of the more subjective things. I'm curious if you have 25 to 30 of the kids in a school that are maybe really hurting, what happens to overall school if you're creating some healing for those kids and so, or in a classroom? Right. So I think that there are a lot of things, and that's why we say something's a pilot program. You go into it saying, let's look at everything. Let's have eyes wide open and see if it did what we thought. And if it does, you know, how do we continue this or expand it?
Yeah. Do you know what happens during the summer months then for those kids who've built a relationship with a therapist?
There is, as I understand it, there is some activity in the summers, but it primarily is a school-based program. But the therapists are doing some work, I think, through the community learning centers during the summers.
Yeah.
But mostly it will be kind of restarted in the fall in a more intense way.
Yeah. So 3 years of a pilot program, lots of conversations happening during that time, and then afterwards, there's a wait list.
Yeah,
clearly there's a demand.
We have a lot of schools, and this covered 5 schools. And you know, a full-time therapist, their load fills up pretty fast. And so we knew that it won't be what can help every kid, but hopefully it can help some kids that really have that need. Part of the design on this is it's not just philanthropic. It is hopefully some insurance dollars that are available or Medicaid dollars for kids that are on Medicaid that can kind of lengthen it and maybe create, once we find out how that reimbursement's working out, in fact, actually, can that create some dollars to make this more sustainable and possibly take it into other schools?
Because that still creates for the parent not having to pick your kid up, take the day off work, drive to an appointment, the extra hour that takes you to get to the appointment, the hour that takes you to get back.
Yeah, which is a huge obstacle.
Even if you're insured, that's a useful program for you.
Yeah, exactly.
To have a location. Yeah,
and you know it's hard to know what door to knock on when those things are needed, and to have a teacher or principal say, hey, you know, this person is available. We think that could be helpful to your kid. That removes a barrier. The other piece I'm really excited about, I've had kids that have been on individual education plans in our family, and you can see the wins when the speech therapist can tell the classroom teacher, hey, help them work on this. And I think that kind of interaction is something that we hope it happens when that therapist is in the school too.
Yeah. Let's broaden the conversation a little bit with our remaining time and help me understand what else is going on with the philanthropic community in South Dakota right now. What are you seeing? Are there trends? Are there challenges, successes that you're seeing that you're excited about?
We have so many great examples of generosity. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's the real visible stuff like parks and buildings. And those things all enrich our community and make the quality of life better. And I think we have some folks just doing amazing things on that front. I think that there are ongoing challenges for nonprofits that funding, whether it's changed or not, the potential for it has changed. And so we're still in an era of uncertainty. But I think so far it's been the sector's been pretty resilient. We as the Community Foundation continue to want to have donors think about, you know, how do they want to give back? And that during your lifetime, you show up for a lot of organizations and help them. As, you know, you start thinking about kind of like ultimately what do you want to do? I think that's a deeper soul search. And so part of what we want to be able to do is stand next to those donors and say, how do we connect you to community needs or opportunities that really match who you are? And that's a big part of what we're doing now. We see that role of community leadership of kind of bringing groups together. In Sioux Falls, we have a great history of collaboration, culture of that. I think this program's a good example that we can help bring together some entities and then make some good things happen. And so we're looking for more ways that we can be in those dialogues to, you know, there's a lot of organizations working on an issue. How do we bring people together to keep working on more solutions?
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot in the media about college graduates and, you know, it's commencement speech time and people are telling you, here's how to find your purpose. Here's how to, you know, make connections in an AI-driven world. Books coming out that are grad gifts. And it's pretty rare for any of those conversations to include, hey, you might be the next generation of nonprofit leaders, or you might, whatever career path you take, might be the next generation of donors and philanthropists for your community. Think about that in your meaning and purpose, too.
Very cool.
So if you got invited to do a commencement speech, what are some of the things that you might tell a new class of graduates to be thinking about, especially, you know, in the work that you do, which maybe you set out to do, and maybe it surprises you?
I didn't think I was going to be, I didn't know what a community foundation was, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of us. I think my one advice, especially as it relates to philanthropy, is have your eyes open wherever you find yourself planted. And, you know, when you want to start giving away, look around, get involved in your community, and then look around and see the needs. It's not always this big idea somewhere else. Sometimes it's saying, hey, I know, have a family member that struggled here and saw this journey, and it was really hard. And so you find yourself blessed someday with resources. You're taking stock in sort of those challenges others have had, that you're volunteering in a school. Or mentoring a kid, and you're saying, wow, there's some stuff that I didn't remember kids struggling with it, or they do now. How do you look at wherever you find yourself, what's my role and how do I get back? And to challenge yourself for that, knowing your resources may not be there for a few years, but when that day comes that you've been looking, you've been seeing people all along the way, and you, when you have those resources, you're going to know how to help.
Yeah. I think it helps, too, to get beyond the fear of the future.
Yeah.
To also include that you have impact on the future.
Yeah. I you know, it's a tough time when there are so many big things that could change the world or are changing the world. How do you help the person next to you? And sometimes I think that's, you know, don't look globally. That's important, too. But sometimes look to your neighbor and say, how can I help make their life better? And I think philanthropy sometimes often should start there. How do I help those right around me?